What's up, wrestling fans? Wrestle Talk here, Joe Lance once again with Renee at NatsuCon, and we actually have a fan here.
Hi, everyone.
Some would call him a fan, some would call him one of the hottest wrestlers in the Midwest, and again, Joe, you're right, we are here live in Collinsville, Illinois at NatsuCon, because there is a wonderful event getting ready to take place here in a little bit under an hour. Dynamo Pro Wrestling is going live tonight, man. As you guys heard on Thursday's show, there's a lot going on, but we could not kick this thing off properly without getting the man himself here to sit down with us for a few minutes. Jaden Phoenix, welcome.
Hello, people. How's it going out there in the world?
Hey, we're doing fantastic. We got to know, man. We didn't expect to see you here. What in the heck are you doing here at NatsuCon?
You know what? All games aside, this is home for me. If people don't know me outside of the wrestling world, I am a huge anime nerd. I cannot help it. I love it. It is a near and dear love of mine. Matter of fact, I got a Happy from Fairy Tale and a Green Ranger bobblehead sitting in the bag right
Green
now.
Green Ranger bobblehead, yes. Dude, that's freaking sick. Yes. Okay, favorite character from Fairy Tale?
Favorite character from Fairy Tale? Natsu. I love Natsu.
Everyone
Dragneel. I can't help it.
And they happen to name this event after him. I didn't think about that, man.
So you can't beat that.
You can't beat that.
You can't beat that.
Favorite Naruto character?
Oh, favorite Naruto. I'm getting flipped off by people.
Gimmel and Webb are just causing ruckus all freaking day.
You know, I do have to admit, I am a Sasuke fan.
I'm sorry.
You know what?
Real Naruto fans love Kakashi. Okay, Kakashi's my guy.
If we're gonna be totally honest, my number one favorite character is Rock Lee.
Oh, Rock Lee, bro.
I love Rock Lee. Rock Lee is the man.
Rock Lee is absolutely the man, dude.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Now, Joe, do you have a favorite Naruto character?
I've never watched Naruto.
What's wrong with you?
How?
Wait, believe it or not, we actually do have a fan question. We got our friend John here from Granite City, Illinois, here live with Jaden Phoenix on the Wrestle Talk podcast. Man, what's your question tonight?
So, seeing you're a big anime fan,
see,
and obviously Power Rangers.
Yeah, a little bit.
Besides the Green Ranger, who would you say was your favorite Power Ranger?
Pink. Pink Ranger.
Let's see here. Oh, I would definitely have to go with Pink Ranger for obvious reasons.
Yes.
And I was a big fan of Zack growing up, the original Black Ranger. I'm sorry, the dancing style of martial arts, Capoeira, is just awesome.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, you just can't beat that.
So, stepping aside from Power Rangers, back to anime, since we are here at NatsuCon.
Yes, we are.
What would you say your favorite anime has to be?
Favorite anime of all time, hands down, is a tie between Dragon Ball Z and Yu Yu Hakusho.
Great. Hey, John, thank you for joining us today here at NatsuCon. Our buddy John, also host of the Sport Shack on Block Talk Radio. Just look him up, man. Sport Shack with John and James. Now, Joe, I know you had a question for Jay tonight, man.
I do. Now, the hot topic is the game Pokemon Go. Have you played Pokemon Go yet?
Is that a rhetorical question?
He hasn't put down his phone since he sat down.
Exactly. My phone is out. The app is up. I'm walking around looking at everything and looking at my phone at the same time.
I've been looking for a Pikachu in that game forever.
Oh, you mean like this one? Oh, yeah. I got one of those.
Leave it to Jaden Phoenix to find freaking Pikachu.
Yeah, I found me a Pikachu. Cool. You're not going to worry about that.
Okay, I have to say this. I think Jaden's using cheat codes.
But
that's just me.
I have done no such thing. I have never cheated a day
Oscar
in my life.
Oscar Brendan from On the Ropes is standing over there. He's nodding his head. He knows Phoenix is using cheat codes.
Yeah, really?
He is.
Come on now. I'm not a bad person. I don't cheat at games.
Okay,
well,
that's fine.
Unless it's Mario Kart.
Yes, indeed.
See?
That would be
Pikachu.
He's already
exactly.
got Pikachu. Joe, what? Get your game up, bro. What's going on?
Pikachu. Yeah, man, you gotta get your game up if you want to step to my league, buddy.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Jane, I have a very serious question for you, though.
What's up?
Last time I saw you in action, okay, out in Troy,
yeah.
You came out and you said some pretty poignant things about who you were affiliated and weren't affiliated with anymore. Has anything changed? Can we get an update here for the WrestleTalk family?
You want an update?
We do.
I will say this. You will know. You will know every answer that you want very, very soon.
Maybe as soon as August 27th at WLW? Will you face John Webb for the Light Heavyweight Championship at WLW?
I'm just going to say,
I'm Junior.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I am being bad mouthed by Jack Gamble right now. So I'm sorry.
We will move our stuff if somebody wants to use the table.
You will have your answers then. I will give you all the answers that you need to know right then and there. After I get done beating the crap out of one John Webb and take my
beating
junior
the crap
title.
Out of one John Webb. That sounds tremendous. Well, Jaden Phoenix here, John, seems to feel that coming up on August 27th at WOW, he's going to wipe the damn ring clean with you. You don't even need to clean
up. Whoa, I never said wipe the ring clean with him. I never said that.
I may be adding some sauce to the tacos, but this is what I do.
Hold on. I never said anything about doing that. I'm going to wipe the entire building with him.
Oh, Joe, you hearing this? Would you like to respond?
You know what? I feel sorry. You know, he's about to get married. Congratulations to him. And I'm sorry to tell his wife that they're not going to be going on a honeymoon because he's going to have my foot in his ass. All right?
Got him! Damn!
See, the funny thing about this, and I don't know that I need to say much more than this.
It's actually live.
We're live!
You're live?
Yeah.
Ricky, whoop them both!
Oh,
shut up,
ladies and gentlemen. Hey, hi.
All right. Yeah, it's all good. No rating here, guys. Don't worry.
All
about
I want to say is Jaden Phoenix.
It's always on.
Really now.
Oh, goodness.
That's the game that you want to play. You got a big ass head since you came back from Japan. You know that, right? I'm going to have to slap you back down to reality.
The problem is he can back it up.
Damn.
Cruz, you've been in the ring with me. You know damn well that I can back that shit up, all right?
Him in a spray bottle, you don't want nothing with a spray bottle.
Hey, you know what? That was a different time period. I'll tell you that. I've leveled up my stats since then.
You know what? Derek Jeter wannabe.
I hate all you people. Oh, I hate all you.
You look like a star does not make you a star.
But what about
I am
bottle?
A star.
The water bottle makes him a star.
Can we talk about spray bottles on this podcast?
Yes, the spray bottles, water bottles, all that.
I don't know.
I'm not going to take any lip from a washed up Black Hand
Warrior.
Washed up Black Hand Warrior. Hold on. I'm not the one that took my ball and went home, okay? Those were the two other guys. Now, if they got a problem with it, they can come here, but oh, wait a minute. One of them has to go to the gym and do some legs, apparently. So that's not my issue, okay?
And that's why he's not longer with the group.
So there's our breaking news that we were waiting for. Oh, my goodness. All right,
yeah, you're getting a little bit of stuff out of me early. You want another relationship between me and the Black Hand Warriors? I'm going to put it simply like this. I was contracted to them for a little while. They brought me in to do things and to go places and
you
take care of different places. I did my part. Those two guys wanted to go, and they wanted to go do something else with their life. So congratulations to them. I commend them for what they're doing. But now, this is my time. Jaden Phoenix, I will tell you, after the 27th, Jaden Phoenix may not necessarily be Jaden Phoenix anymore.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm excited. I'll be honest. You know, all the nonsense aside, Joe and I are big fans of you. He came all the way out from West Virginia to check you out. And I know he has one last question for you before we sign off with you. Joe, Jaden Phoenix is here right in front of you. You got a chance to see him last time you came out to Dynamo Pro.
Yes.
What question do you want to ask him?
Yes, my eyes are real. Stop asking me that question.
What's going to happen at WLW?
I've said it once, and I will say it again. I am going to destroy one John Webb. I am taking my title. For too long, I let two other jokers kind of hold me down, and while they get all the fame and the glory, that's not happening anymore. This is my time.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That was
Jaden Phoenix. Jaden, before you get out of here, man, when can people see you in action next, and how do people keep tabs on you through social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Jaden Phoenix. At Jaden Phoenix. There's nothing else fancy about that.
We need to get you a JadenPhoenix.com.
Need to get a JadenPhoenix.com. I need a Facebook. I need a YouTube. I need everything.
We do need it. Yeah. Well, you can get all the exposure you want here on the Wrestle Talk podcast with Joe and Verde. Man, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, guys.
So, by the way, this whole interview happened while my man was wearing a Nicktoons t-shirt. No joke. Killing it with the Nicktoons t-shirt.
You're welcome. Thank you. Right. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Jaden.
Thank you.
Bro, you handled that like a champ.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Joe Lance here. WrestleTalk, NatsuCon, here with my co-host Renee, and who do we have with us right now, Renee?
Man, we have the distinct pleasure of having a man that's almost as busy as you and I are, Joe. He may actually be even busier. The man, the myth, the legend, Larry Nickelman. He's all over the place. You can hear him here in the St. Louis area on CBS Radio 920. Is that right, Larry? Man, you do such a wonderful job, not only for CBS, but you're also now interning for Dynamo Pro Wrestling. I know you're really, really excited about that. We are here live at NatsuCon in Collinsville, Illinois. Man, what is on your mind and how excited are you today?
Well, I'm excited because last night we had a wonderful, excellent card of great Dynamo Pro Wrestling, which is capped off by Mike Outlaw facing Ring of Honor's own Delirious. And Jake Durden said before this match, before we had this whole card at NatsuCon, that if he wants a shot at the Dynamo Pro Heavyweight Championship, he has to earn it. So the match last night with Delirious was a must win for Mike Outlaw, because in order for him to get back in the title hunt, he had to win last night here at the Gateway Cultural Center in Collinsville, Illinois.
Well, absolutely, Larry. I know we had a tremendous time last night at Dynamo Pro Wrestling. I mean, that match between Mike Outlaw and Delirious was absolutely crazy. Joe, I'm going to bring you in here. I know Larry and you and myself were basically sitting ringside. So, hey, we have a guest. What's going on, man?
Battleground?
What do we think is happening? Let's jump into that, man. Have a seat. Let's talk a little wrestling.
Have a
we have another guest joining us, man. Who are you dressed up as today?
I am dressed up as Derek from
the
Legend of Korra.
Boo, Legend of Korra joining us right here. Man, this is the Wrestle Talk Podcast, man. We're talking basically all things wrestling. You brought up Battleground. We'll kick it off with our first guest, Larry. Larry, your thoughts going into Battleground?
Well, I think since they had the brand extension draft this past week, I think since they're going to have certain Dean Ambrose, who got drafted to SmackDown, against two guys who got drafted to Raw, which was Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Albeit, all three guys were all members of the Shield at one time or another before Seth Rollins backstabbed Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns.
Oh, he sure as hell did. So let's bring you on in here. And give us your name one more time?
My name is Max.
Max. Max, you're obviously a wrestling fan, just like all of us are. Before you even touch on Battleground, man, your thoughts on the draft overall? Because a lot of people were really excited about what's going on.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people were actually a little bit disappointed in the draft, but I actually think that if we're talking storyline-wise, it makes sense of why Raw looks a lot better than SmackDown as a whole. But I do think at the top of SmackDown is better than the top of Raw. With Styles, Cena, Ambrose, and I really think that the draft did a good job because it'll get people that like Dolph Ziggler that were not doing very
Cesaro.
Well. Cesaro, that could become top guys again because they're not diluted.
Yeah, absolutely. Now they're going to spread the wealth, for the lack of a better phrase. I have to ask you, Joe, let me bring you in on this first.
Yes.
Everyone's tremendously excited about what Enzo and Cass are doing. Do you believe that them going to Raw was the right move?
Do I believe it was the right move? I believe so, because it seems like a lot of the tag teams were going to Monday Night Raw. So I feel that them sticking with Monday Night Raw will hopefully get them the tag team title soon, because I would love to see them with the tag team. Team titles, like, yeah, I like the
because New Day went to Raw as well.
Yeah, I like the New Day, but New Day now has held the titles longer than any other tag team.
They indeed have broke the record. Your thoughts on that? Do you think New Day deserved to break that that record? And do you believe that Enzo and Cass is the team to dethrone them at some point?
I do believe the tag team division for a while there was kind of stagnant, where the only really good team was the New Day, and the only really good like gimmick in the sense was the New Day.
I agree.
And I think that if they're going to not do two tag team title championships and they're only going to stay one tag team championship where it's on Raw, that it's the right move for all the really good tag teams to go to Raw. I'm a little concerned about the Vaudevillains because they were doing so well.
They were great,
They were doing great heel work, and then they just fell off the radar.
They just disappear off TV, and it doesn't make any sense to me. Now I know Larry's giving me this look as we're sitting here talking about the New Day. I know he's a huge New Day fan, but you're also a big Wyatt family fan. Larry, do you think it may be unwise to overlook the Wyatt family going in to Battleground.
Well, you hit on the nail on the head. I am a new Bit Day fan. And by the way, have you had your booty-os today?
I have had my booty-os because I have to make sure that I'm not booty.
Exactly. But anyway, the Wyatt family, they got split up.
Yeah, they went. Strowman went to SmackDown. Wyatt went to Raw, I believe. So did Rowan. Luke Harper, we don't know because he's been injured for the last couple of months. But do you believe that they have a legitimate shot?
They do. If they were all, I was told with the rules, all three members of one tag team count as one draft pick, unless
the general managers decided to split the teams up, which they did with the Wyatt family.
Yeah, they also did with the club too, because it was AJ Styles, Carl Anderson, and Luke Gallows, who, by the way, is on his second stint in the WWE.
Because
he was,
don't know that.
He was in it the first time. He was there as Festus, and then he went to Luke Gallows, and he was with the Straight Edge Society,
right,
with the current UFC fighter CM Punk.
CM Punk, UFC fighter in training. Joe, your thoughts. Do you think it's unwise for people to overlook the Wyatt family at Battleground? They have an opportunity at the tag team titles, if I'm not mistaken. Do they have a legitimate chance of winning that belt?
I mean, if anybody has a chance to win, do I foresee the New Day winning at Battleground? No, I don't.
You don't see New Day winning, or you don't see Wyatt's winning?
I don't see the Wyatt's
winning. You don't see the Wyatt's winning. Now, Max, let's bring you back in for this, because we talked a little Enzo and Cass. I think we might have skipped you over. Your thoughts on the Wyatt's possibility of winning the tag team titles at Battleground, and your thoughts on Enzo and Cass going to Raw.
So I think that it would be very smart to actually give the championships to the Wyatt.
See, I agree with that.
Because of the fact that every feud that Bray has been in, he's lost. He
lost to Dean, lost to Bryan, lost to Cena. Absolutely agree.
And I think a championship would really help maintain that threat and of him. And the mystique that was, say, one status kind of lost.
It that. Is.
And him going to SmackDown and splitting up the Wyatt family might actually be the best move. Because I know that they were wanting to try to push Braun as a main
singles competitor.
And the thoughts on Enzo and Cass, I think it's fantastic for them to go to Raw, because it looks like Raw, at least in the tag team division, is going to be
the stronger brand. Absolutely. Now, we can't even come close to ending this interview until we talk about what's sitting in front of Larry Nichols right now. Max, I don't know, maybe this outdates you a little bit, but by the blessing of the internet, we all know what it is. Larry Nichols came to our table with a couple of DVDs in his hand. Larry, you care to elaborate on what it is that's sitting in front of you right now? Because I know we're all looking down and wondering what the hell you're doing with those DVDs at NatsuCon.
Well, back in my younger years, I used to watch a certain show on MTV called Beavis and Butthead. Which, by the way, they spun off of making South Park.
Okay.
Which is almost along the lines of Beavis and Butthead.
Similar, yes.
But it's totally different. I use YouTube to watch stuff like this, but since I'm got a DVD player now, I got me some DVDs of Beavis and Butthead.
So did you get those here at Natsu?
Yes, I did get them here at Natsu.
That's awesome. Joe, let me bring you in on this. Were you ever a big Beavis and Butthead fan?
I watched it a couple times. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but I did watch it a couple times.
Good stuff. Definitely not for the kids. Max, my question to you is, any Beavis and Butthead in your past?
Yeah, I actually have. I'm probably a lot younger than the rest of
the guys. A lot younger than these two guys.
but I do remember watching a lot of having an MTV and TV2 growing up. They would do a lot of reruns of the old Beavis and Butthead stuff. And I did get, you mentioned South Park. I grew up on South Park. But I do enjoy Beavis and Butthead. And then didn't they remake it recently? Like, kind of recently?
I never gave it a shot, but they did. Okay. They did remake it. Now, here, I want to say this, because I have to speak specifically about my very favorite Beavis and Butthead segments. One of them was where they're sitting around, as always, on the couch watching music videos, and Beavis starts choking on a chicken bone. And of course, it takes him a while to communicate to Butthead that he's actually choking on a chicken bone, and so Butthead makes the phone call to 911, and he asks the famous, what's the number to 911, which you'll still hear today. Hey, well, dude, what's the, right? So he finally gets on the phone, the operator picks up, and it happens to be a gal. So immediately Butthead goes, hey, baby, what are you wearing, right? But that's my very favorite episode, and my second favorite is the whole Santa Butthead segment. It was over several episodes, and it always seemed like the chicks that were writing into Santa Butthead wanted to sleep with Beavis, and of course every time that happened, Butthead would throw it back into his sack and whip Beavis a couple of times with the whip. So anybody out there who's over the age of 18, please make sure you go check out Beavis and Butthead. Some awesome retro cartoons. And actually, yesterday we were sitting with a guy that was wearing a Nicktoons shirt. Yeah. And the Rugrats, and he had Hey Arnold, and everybody else on it. It was a good time. So let's close out with one more wrestling question. What besides WWE are you guys into these days? What other wrestling do you partake in? Is it indie? Is it lucha? What are you guys into besides WWE? Max?
So I like all of it. I like the indies a lot. I had a friend.
Were you at Dynamo yesterday?
I did not get a chance to go to Dynamo.
Oh, it was wonderful. Delirious was here. Oh, wow. We interviewed him right here. It was fantastic.
I'm into NG. I'm into New Japan Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor. I'm giving TNA a shot after the Matt Hardy.
Brother Nero.
The Brother Nero. Broken Man. But the indies are pretty good. I have a friend who is an indie wrestler and just had to recently retire due to fracturing his neck.
Ooh. Did he work here locally?
He was doing like the Tennessee area.
Okay.
But I've really liked a lot of the stuff and NXT, of course.
Of course. Which is its own brand now, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy of how much wrestling I can get now with the internet and stuff.
It's wonderful.
That growing up as a kid, I couldn't get, because I didn't know Japan, that wrestling was in Japan until I got on the internet and stuff. So, but I watch all of it.
All right. Well, we'll let you go ahead and get out of here, man. It was a real pleasure talking to you. The interview with Delirious would be up over within the next day or so. So make sure you check us out, Facebook, Twitter, all that jazz. Great talking to you, man. Take it easy. All right, Larry, let's get your thoughts on that, man. What besides WWE are you watching these days?
Well, of course I have to watch WWE because I have a statement on CBS Sports 920.
Of course.
With the Wayne Kelly morning after. I'm on there every Tuesday morning at 7:45 in the morning. And then I'm on WLCA 89.9. During the summer, I am on from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I play the greatest music in college and alternative rock. Then I might sprinkle in some wrestling and some other stuff. And then I'm also in the TNA. I'm also in the Ring of Honor. And locally.
Now, Ring of Honor. Roderick Strong just stepped away from Ring of Honor. Give us your thoughts on that, because let me tell you something. A lot of people are very, very disappointed that he decided to step away. And we actually talked to Delirious about that last night.
Well, Roderick Strong, he did it all in Ring of Honor. He's one of the few people, in my understanding, that held the ROH World title, the Ring of Honor World TV title, and the Ring of Honor World Tag title. Not many people in Ring of Honor can do that.
True, that he did say that in his kind of goodbye speech. He mentioned that he felt like he'd done it all and it was time to move on, and you got to respect that.
Well, and with the indie independent scene, I watch them all, but the main one I watch is Dynamo Pro Wrestling.
Our very favorite is also independent wrestling, whether it be on West Virginia, Kansas City, or here in St. Louis. That's our favorite for sure.
Well, I still need to find a way to get out to Kansas City so I can see Metro Pro Wrestling.
Next Saturday, man, Metro Pro Wrestling, Turner Rec in Kansas City, Kansas. We got to get you out there. Joe, let's go ahead and close out this segment, man.
Yes.
What else outside of WWE has you excited right now in the wrestling world?
I love independent wrestling. I love everything about the independent wrestling. I watch Lucha Underground. I do watch some of the some TNA, but TNA kind of has me thrown off right now, so I don't watch it as much as what I used to. So there you go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you were just listening to Larry Nickel and our guy. What was this guy's first name, guys? Remind me. Can you remember his name?
It was Max.
Max. Max joined us here. We're still, obviously, at NatsuCon having a wonderful time watching all these wonderful people walk by, cosplay, dressed up, looking all silly, looking goofy, and some of them even a little intimidating. So we appreciate you guys for tuning in. That was Larry Nickel, Joe Lance, and Renee Martinez signing off from the WrestleTalk podcast.
I'm live at NatsuCon. Joe Lance here with Renee.
Hey, the night out here broadcasting live with my partner, Joe Lance, and we have a very special guest tonight. Joe, why don't you introduce him for us?
I'll let you introduce him.
No, I'll let you introduce him. No, ladies and gentlemen, all kidding aside, we got Patrick Brandmeier here, a man who is aficionado here throughout the Midwest, but specifically the St. Louis wrestling scene. He's also got some comedy that does on the side, and he happens to do a fantastic job. As he sits here with us, he's wearing a Delirious shirt. So let's get right into it, Patrick. Who's winning tonight, Mike Outlaw or Delirious? Come on, lay it on us, because you know if Mike Outlaw is able to win, he gets a shot, possibly gets a shot at the heavyweight championship for Dynamo Pro Wrestling. Your thoughts?
That's a tough one, man. I mean, Delirious has the experience. He's been all over the world. But Mike Outlaw, on the other hand, he is motivated. He is focused. He knows that if he wants that shot at Jake Durden down the line, he's going to have to defeat Delirious tonight. And that's going to be a tall order, but I think he's got what it takes to get the job done. That's a pick'em, man. That's a tough call.
It's definitely a tough call. Now, Joe actually came all the way out here from West Virginia to join us here at NatsuCon tonight. Is this your first NatsuCon, Pat? I mean, you're pretty close by. It is. What do you think so far?
I'm a little bit familiar with the anime and manga and stuff. I know what some of these costumes are. I can say that much.
I can recognize all the people dressed like Pikachu and all the people dressed like Naruto. Outside of that, man, I'm having a hard time out here. I seen a couple of Deadpool people, too, out here.
I saw some Deadpool.
Who's that?
Crud. I recognize the character, but I couldn't tell you what the name of the character is. I saw a little bit of One Piece, some Attack on Titan, some Fairy Tale. So
Fairy Tale, very, very popular these days.
Sailor Moon, of course, a classic.
It's got to be here. Sailor Moon has got to be here. Now, Patrick, as we stand here, you recently were at another show. You care to speak on that? Because I know you visit and frequent a lot of wrestling shows throughout the Midwest. Can you speak about that and how you make your way around to all the different promotions and how much you love doing it?
Well, there's such a busy wrestling scene around the St. Louis area. Most weekends you can find something within about an hour's drive of the St. Louis area and the Metro East. So, I mean, last year I went to close to 70 wrestling shows. That was a very busy year. That included a four-day Chikara excursion, as I called it. One of my friends picked me up in St. Louis. We went to Chikara shows in Minneapolis, Chicago, Louisville, and Columbus, Ohio.
That sounds so exciting. And today we find ourselves at NatsuCon, as we stated before, for a Dynamo Pro Wrestling show. I know Dynamo Pro happens to be in one of your, it's either in your top three or your top five of the promotions that you like to go to. What makes Dynamo Pro so special in your eyes?
I think that they have a lot of history behind them. So the people that are behind Dynamo were some of the people that were behind Gateway Championship Wrestling. That was a group that was big in this area from 2000 to about 2005 or so. And they produced such people as Matt Sydal, Delirious, of course, Mischief, Daisy Hayes, people who made their mark across the country and around the world even. Matt Sydal is competing all over the world, competing in Japan. He's all over the place. It's very cool to see how much he has done. It was a personal highlight as a wrestling fan for me that to see him wrestle at indie shows, at high school gyms and such, and then several years later to see him walk out at WrestleMania. That was mind-blowing at the time, to see him go that far to the pinnacle of the quote-unquote sports entertainment. So that was very cool for me to see as someone who followed him since the beginning of his career when he was barely out of high school, like weighing about 150 pounds soaking wet, and he's bulked up a little bit since that time.
Just a wee bit. Absolutely.
Now, I mean, you said that there's a lot of wrestling promotions in the area. What is your favorite promotion to go to? Is that kind of a tough question?
That is a tough question because there's a lot of them around. It seems like there's a lot of newer ones, a lot of people trying to latch onto that bandwagon, so to speak, compared to the groups that have been around here a long time.
Yes.
I mean, there's St. Louis Anarchy. They put on some great shows. That's another one. There's groups like MMWA and SICW who have been running in this area since
the turn of the century, and as yeah. to be perfectly honest. And like I said, some of the newer groups who are trying to find their niche in this area, trying to find what sort of audience to latch on to. And you see a lot of promising talent come out of this area. You see people branching out across the area. Like, as far as St. Louis Anarchy goes, there are people like Gary J, like the Submission Squad, who have made their way to Chikara, mm-hmm. made their way to Full Impact Pro in Florida, and they just compete all over the place.
Well, that's absolutely, and it's great to know that you have such a well-rounded background in wrestling. I have to ask you something about some of the bigger promotions. Are you familiar with what's going on in Lucha Underground right now? Are you keeping up? Can you speak to that? Because we're both very excited. I actually just had the opportunity today to finish watching Ultima Lucha Dos. I'd saved the Puma and Rey Mysterio match for when Joe arrived from West Virginia. We just saw it today. We saw the unveiling of Pentagon Dark. But in general, your thoughts on Lucha Underground?
I'm a big fan of Lucha Underground. It's got a very unique presentation about it, something very different from what you normally see in a wrestling product. More cinematic, I guess you could say.
Quite a bit more.
And it's just it's a true alternative in a time when a lot of wrestling products are very similar. And you look, and it gives you a taste of some of the people that are perhaps not well known outside of Mexico in Lucha Libre. You get to see some different people like Pentagon, mm-hmm. like Mil Muertes, who had a cup of coffee in TNA as Macias,
yes.
and a lot of other people. Some people who are a little better known on the national scene, like Johnny Mundo, who used to be John Morrison. He's there.
Yeah. Yes.
Like Rey Mysterio, like Prince Puma, who competes as Ricochet elsewhere.
Yeah, New Japan, man.
Uh-huh. Now, one of the different things about Lucha Underground is they actually also use the women that wrestle the men. So what's your thoughts on Sexy Star?
From what I understand, she's actually wrapping up her career down in Mexico, and she's an interesting character. I like the way they portray her as like a positive role model. Intergender wrestling is kind of a tough subject for a lot of people. It kind of depends on who you're talking to.
Okay.
I mean, when I first started watching GCW back in the day, Mischief and Daisy Hayes were the only two women competing in the area, and other than just wrestling each other all the time, they wrestled the guys for the sake of variety, and they had some very good matches with them. In fact, Mischief held the GCW light heavyweight title for 6 months,
nice.
Fighting the guys and beating the guys.
Nice.
Incredible.
Now, not only are you a wrestling fan, but you're also into comedy. How'd you get into the comedy business?
Well, I have a friend through wrestling, Dan Walsh, if you know him.
Yeah, he's out on the West Coast now, right?
Right, he just moved out to California around the start of the year. I knew him through wrestling. I knew that he was doing the open mics at the Westport Funny Bone. I started going out there. I watched some shows. I got it in my head that it was something I'd always wanted to give a shot at. So I signed up. I gave it a shot. I've been trying to write in that time, and that was a little over 10 years ago, and it's been quite a journey since then. I've been performing all across the Midwest at all the different clubs. There's the Funny Bone, there's the New Helium Club, there's Hey Guys Comedy right near here in Fairview Heights, one of the newer clubs in the area. And it's just been a learning experience. It's something that any form of showbiz, and that includes wrestling, it's something you kind of learn as you go. You kind of learn on the fly sometimes. Only slightly less risk of physical injury.
No, indeed. And I was going to ask you that question. What kind of thrill do you get? I mean, I think of it, and I've never had the experience. I know some guys are getting ready to give it a try, of actually being in the wrestling business and having that feeling when the music hits and comes out. I mean, how do you feel when you step onto that stage, your music hits, if you have music, which I do believe you do, you come out, does that give you that excitement? Do your heart start pounding? You start sweating real bad? I mean, how does it feel?
Oh, I mean, 10 years later, I still get a little nervous when I'm getting ready to go up there, man. I mean, your standard open mic, you get about 4 minutes or so, and you got to make that count, try out whatever new material you want to try, get some good laughs. And if you're on a bigger show, you're going to have like 10 or 15 minutes. Or I was scheduled for a show in Effingham a couple of weeks ago that unfortunately got canceled, where I was scheduled to do 20. Which is a big step, because once you get into the 20 to 25 minute range, that's where you get to be the middle act before the headliners. And
nice.
That's a nice step up on the pay grade. I mean, pay is, I mean, comedy is a fun hobby, but getting paid to do it's a nice perk. Not gonna lie.
I can absolutely imagine. And another fun perk of being a wrestling fan is getting to come to shows like the one we have today here at Dynamo Pro. I know we've talked a little bit about Delirious and Mike Outlaw. Is there any other matches on today's card that you're looking forward to?
Well, I just heard about the tag team title match, High Level Enterprise facing Keon Option and Justin Dier. That should be a heck of a matchup. We got several new faces here tonight that I'm not quite as familiar with, like Mojo McQueen. I believe he's facing Ricky Cruz tonight. And also, I think Jesus Bryce, I think his name is. I believe he is facing Outcast for the D1 title. So a couple of new names on the card tonight that I'm really interested in seeing. And
one match in particular that we got to get you to comment on, Patrick, is the match between the Natsukan-sponsored Rick Maverick against the alternative Oz of Gallagher. Your thoughts on how that match might shake out, because Gallagher's really been out of pocket lately, and I think Maverick may just be the guy to finally put him in his place.
I think he's got a good shot at it. I mean, I saw him this past weekend. Glenn Carbon picked up a win over, I believe it was Matt Kenway. And so both of them have a little bit of momentum behind them, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. I mean, Gallagher, though, I mean, you can ask Mikazi about the kind of underhanded tactics that Gallagher likes to use, so he's got to watch out for that. That's a guy who will stoop to any deaths in order to get a win.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Well, here on the WrestleTalk Podcast, we're definitely in the corner of the Natsukan-sponsored Rick Maverick. And believe it or not, he will actually join us next. So before we let you go, Patrick, how can people keep up with you and all the stuff that you do for the professional wrestling world and also through your comedy?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook, PatrickAB7. I have a YouTube channel. You can look me up on there. That's where I put some of my comedy videos. And I have a couple of blogs. It's both pretty much the same thing. Every once in a while, LiveJournal goes down, so I just post a blog spot, too. You can look up at PowerPB13. That's a bit of an artifact, my old AOL screen name.
Old school.
Yep, so you can look me up at PowerPB13 on either LiveJournal or Blogspot. I blog about my comedy performances. I blog about the wrestling I watch, and I probably watch more wrestling than would be considered healthy. I watch so much of the stuff that's on television. Mm-hmm. I try to watch New Japan. I try to watch Lucha Underground, NXT. There's so many different products out nowadays, and it's a really cool time to be a wrestling fan because just about every type of fan has something that'll suit them. You just got to go out and look for it. There's a little something for every type of fan, and I think that's really cool.
Absolutely. And then the very last question before we get you out of here, the state of the WWE in a few short sentences. Are you happy with what they're doing? Are you not happy? How do you feel?
Well, they just did the brand split, so it's a little early to speak on that. I mean, it's very interesting to see who they brought up from NXT. They brought up Finn Balor. But most of the people they brought up were, I guess you could call them their own products, rather than people who cut their teeth elsewhere, like American Alpha, like Mojo Rawley. Like
Nia Jax,
Carmella, Eva Marie coming back up. So they're trying to mix things up, make things interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. There's so much talent under the WWE/NXT banner right now that it's just a lot of fun to watch. I mean, NXT is one of my favorite shows of the week. I mean, you see people that you wouldn't have expected to get a shot under the WWE banner, like Shinsuke Nakamura, like former TNA competitors like Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, Eric Young. And it's a very interesting time in wrestling because you're seeing so many things you never would have expected to see.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Joe, before we close out, any questions for Patrick?
Just thank you for sitting down and chatting with us. It's always good to hear from everybody.
I appreciate it, man. You traveled a long way to be here tonight. I hope you have a good time.
I did. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Patrick.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Wrestle Talk Podcast with Joe and Renee. We are at a second day of NatsuCon, and who do we have with us?
Hey, we got our buddy Kenneth here joining us. We're having an absolutely great time here at Natsukan in Collinsville, Illinois. Yesterday was an absolutely wonderful day. Joe, as you know, Dynamo Pro killed it last night. Delirious was in the house. Mike Outlaw was in the house. So many other wonderful superstars. But before we carry on with the Dynamo conversation, we want to talk a little bit of WWE and professional wrestling in general. Kenneth, welcome to the WrestleTalk Podcast. How are you doing today?
Oh, thank you. I'm doing great.
Awesome, dude. So, hey, immediately, let's jump right into it. WWE draft took place last week. Yes. What did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I was kind of taken back by some of the choices that were made, where some of the superstars went. I feel like maybe some SmackDown got some strong guys that I didn't think were going to go there. Uh-huh. And I'm hoping that with it being the now live, that it will get a bigger hit than it's been getting lately.
Exactly. Now, one of the big topics is the fact that Cesaro seems to be pretty mad about where he was drafted. Like, at what point he was drafted. What do you think about that?
I think with the way the WWE has been trying to push him, I think maybe, yeah, putting him kind of lower in the pool was a little weird.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd be more of a top tier when it seems like they're trying to put him out there more and more. So to drop him down low instead of within the top five like they did with some of the people, I was like, maybe a little harsh move.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got to actually agree with Kenneth. I think they maybe didn't do the right thing by waiting for so long to draft him. The thing that really caught me by surprise was that he went to Monday Night Raw. You know, Cesaro's always been a guy that prides himself in what he does inside the ring, and it sounds like that's what SmackDown's trying to do. And they're trying to bring back the entertainment value and the overall value of what happens in wrestling more inside the ring than anywhere else. And you would think with Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan heading up the SmackDown Live show that that would have been a better place for him. Any ideas as to why he might have gone to Raw instead of SmackDown?
Maybe, like I said, maybe with the fact that WWE is still obviously trying to push him out there, get him out there, and with Raw being the mainstay show, I'm hoping they still go with pushing him. Obviously, when you have Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon running it, I don't know exactly where they're going to go with it. Is Stephanie going to fall back to how she's been, just setting certain superstars up for the top spots? Or will she do like Shane McMahon saying, get some of those bottom-line guys who are trying to get out there, and so maybe she'll pick up from him and do it. But I feel you're right. Maybe him being on Raw wasn't the greatest thing, because, like you said, with Shane and Daniel Bryan trying to push these guys, I feel like he should have been, like, almost should have been
one
their
of the
number
first
one
guys.
Pick.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand they wanted to get Dean Ambrose heavyweight champion, but when you had the match later that night of it being Dean Ambrose or Seth Rollins, you didn't know which way it was going to go. So why pick one of them right off the bat?
Yeah, absolutely. And another big surprise, Joe, and I'd like to hear your comments on this. Kevin Owens drafted late in the draft. A lot of people could easily put him in their top five in the world right now. Why do you think there was such a delay in drafting Kevin Owens? I mean, do you think people are scared to touch him because of the way his character's developed? Or maybe it's just an oversight. I don't know.
I think that it has to do with that there was a lot of wrestlers that they wanted to get. And I feel that, well, Kevin Owens is good and he's a hot commodity, that they knew that he wasn't going to go in the first couple rounds. So that's why they kind of laid back from him. That's my opinion.
Kenneth, your thoughts?
I'd have to agree, kind of laying back, because obviously it seems like they were pushing him really hard. And you got the fans behind him a lot when he first came out, and now you kind of see some of them tending to drift off.
Yeah.
I think it's because they might not be pushing him as hard as they should be.
I agree.
But, I mean, I feel like if they would have went with something, I mean, you should have went with, like, Finn Balor, I thought was a great top five. Kevin Owens, Cesaro, probably Atlas. Atlas Cruz, yeah. I'm like trying to remember his name. I get him all confused.
Apollo!
Apollo, that's
Apollo
it.
Cruz.
Why did I just call him? People are going to hate me for calling him
it's
Atlas.
It's all good.
And then, I mean, then you could have gone with, like, the Seth Rollins or the Ambrose. But you want to get some of those guys who weren't...
Get them early,
yeah,
man.
Weren't named, who aren't well-known in the main roster to move up. That, I mean, that's a big thing today, is a lot of people are latching on to the NXT people. And
particularly the Divas.
Oh, God, yeah.
We got to speak on that. A lot of Divas went early in the draft, and I think it was a great move by Monday Night Raw. Kenneth, I have to know, what excites you and what has kept you tuned in to the women's division? Obviously, they're doing big things, but what is it in particular that gets you excited about what the women are doing right now, not only in WWE, but even in Lucha Underground?
It's a lot of the risks the women are taking. I mean, you used to see them just doing, like, little small things, like, you know, they do their little hip tosses and everything like that, your basic moves. But really, when Lita stepped on the scene and started doing a lot of the high-flying...
Whole nother level,
just taking it to an extreme level, quote Hardy Boys. But it was just great seeing her do that, and then more women have stepped up to follow that, and they're just trying to put themselves out there. They're no longer trying to just be like, oh, I'm a woman and I'm here, let's do a quick match, get it over with. They're trying to be front runners. They're trying to get out there and just be almost running with the boys.
Dude, they absolutely are. Now, let's take it back in time just a little bit. We happen to be not joined here live on the show, but somebody happens to be standing nearby who is a relative of a very, very well-known professional wrestler. Do you care to take us back in time a little bit and maybe fill us in on who's standing beside the table right now with us?
Yes, the person who is standing beside us is my girlfriend, Jessica Laurinaitis. She is daughter to Road Warrior Animal, Joe Laurinaitis.
Wow. Wow. What a privilege it is to have you standing here beside us. I feel like there's an aura, there's a glow, and we're just here trying to soak it all in. Now, let's talk a little bit about LOD. Do you have a favorite memory from your time as a wrestling fan when you were a little tyke?
Well, when I was really little, I didn't watch it too much, but when I started getting a little bit older, I started watching it, and LOD, basically, I mean, the fact when you see them come out with the shoulder pads, the spikes,
so
the face
cool.
paint, I mean, then...
And when they try to replicate it, it doesn't work.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
I mean,
and
we all know,
the,
right?
The biggest issue I've ever heard Joe talk about is the Ascension and the LOD ripoff.
Oh, my goodness. It's so bad.
Yeah. You know, it's often imitated, but you can never replicate, duplicate. It never works. You can't bring back something from the past unless you're going to bring back the guys who actually did it.
So wait, so you're saying that the new Razor Ramon and the new Diesel that they try to bring back didn't work?
No.
I mean, because Joe happened to love the imitation Razor Ramon and Diesel, right, Joe? I mean, you were a big fan of those guys.
I was not.
I think you remember how they built that up? They were like, oh, Razor. Oh, yeah. And Diesel coming back, and then they came out, and it was like the biggest freaking flop of all time.
I think if you're gonna do it as a hey, let's get people excited for like a funny factor, then maybe. Like, I mean, with
they
Gilbert,
were being serious about it
when they did Gilbert though, you know, no one thought they were being serious, and that was the greatest part about it. When you pin something to be like a serious aspect, you got to be good with it. It can't come half cocked. It just has to be everything
all the
in
way.
It. Yeah, all the way. It's got to be good. It has to be good.
All in and all the way in, and it has to be good is what we live by here on the Wrestle Talk Podcast. Kenneth, we can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Oh, absolutely.
We're having an absolutely great time, and we're looking forward to seeing you a little bit later on today as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good. One final question. Who was your favorite wrestler of all time?
Oh, man. Favorite wrestler
I think we already
of
talked
time.
About Gilbert.
Yeah, Gilbert. I mean, he's the best. See, me, I... My favorite wrestler is, it's kind of hard to pick just one. I've always been kind of drawn to, obviously, Hardy Boys because...
heck yeah.
Old school Hardy Boys, when they were extreme. I'm not too keen on the whole TNA aspect of what they've been doing lately.
I was about to ask you about that.
I think the Hardy Boys have dropped off, and it kind of hurts.
The whole fucking Matt Hardy.
Yeah. And my thing is I used to do the bad thing. I used to do the backyard wrestling, and I drew my inspiration from Jeff Hardy.
Okay.
But, I mean, all around, I don't know, there's so many out there now. I mean, because they have to be good on the mic. They have to be good in the ring. Old school Chris Jericho was great. Tommy
Dreamer.
Even
the new heel one isn't too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I feel like he's lacking a little bit.
Take
what
it
he
in,
used
man.
To.
Yeah, take it in.
That's a little bit better. I like when he kind of draws from what he used to do. He's just like, just focus on me. And that's the best. There was a while there he was just kind of fading out.
Yeah,
I'm like,
he was.
Ugh.
Surprising that they brought him back and actually took him serious this time around. It's kind of exciting for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely good they're actually putting a little bit behind him now instead of just being like, okay, here he is, he's a joke. Just go on with it.
Absolutely. Well, Kenneth, I think we reached the conclusion of the interview today.
You awesome.
Thank you for sharing with us, man. We really appreciate it. We hope you guys have a wonderful time just like we are here at NatsuCon in Collinsville, Illinois, man. Thank you once again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Yep.
Oh, thanks a lot, man.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Lance here, another edition of the Wrestle Talk Podcast. We are still here at NatsuCon. I'm with Renee, and what's your name, my friend?
My name is Jay. I'm from PA Studios.
PA Studios.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Jay from PA. Hey, I like it. I like
nice.
It. Well, like you said, Joe, we are back for day two of NatsuCon in Collinsville, Illinois. We're very excited. Our buddy Jay here is going to join us. We're going to talk wrestling, but one thing we're not going to be able to talk about is Dynamo Pro last night because Jay missed the boat.
Missed it.
Wasn't here to see Delirious.
Missed the boat.
But we already kind of told him a little bit about it, and I know that he wished that he would have been here last night. But hey, this is neither here nor there. Let's have some fun. Let's talk some professional wrestling.
Cool.
All right, so here's the thing. You walked up to the table just now, and all of a sudden, there was a ghost song playing by a ghost wrestler.
I don't know where it came from.
I don't know. Now, we want to throw this out there. Jay right here is a dark-skinned brother, a little bit darker than me, because I'm Mexican, and it's all G. Okay? Let's put our cards out on the table here, Jay, okay? It's been about a year since the whole Hogan situation, okay? I want to know, you seem like a guy who's been a wrestling fan for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel that the punishment was warranted? I mean, would you have taken the guy out of the Hall of Fame? What would you have done?
I mean, I guess this would be too severe, but the same way they did Chris Benoit, in the fact that the WWE just completely
erased him.
I kind of want that to happen.
So you're one of those guys that says, hey, you know what? I don't care if it was just a one-time mistake. That is absolutely intolerable and unforgivable.
Oh, not unforgivable, I would say. It's just like it's completely ignorant, I guess. I don't know.
A lot of that going around these days.
Yeah. he's a ghost, for as far as I care.
He is a ghost. Well, listen, going from a ghost to a man who has made a huge impact in the WWE since turning his back on the Shield about 2 years ago. Let's talk about Seth Rollins, the number one overall pick in this week's WWE draft. He went straight to Raw. You got to tell us why you think Seth Rollins went first and if whether or not you agree with that.
Seth is like at the top of the WWE right now. Like he is at like I think almost like at his prime. This is one character who is actually just dominating right now. He's just awesome. And the fact that, you know, people would love to know where Seth is going first. This is like the last draft that happened was years ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, was that like 10 years ago, Joe, from the last draft?
About 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was John Cena, who was like, I think was the first pick, wasn't he?
He was, yes.
Not a bad choice. I mean, think about it. The guy's been carrying the company for 15 years.
And this draft, he wasn't the first pick, and that was kind of shocking that he wasn't the first pick.
Exactly.
Because you would see that John Cena has always been a hot commodity. And
he still is.
He still is, but he wasn't drafted first pick. Exactly.
Really surprising. Now, when you take a look at the draft, any surprises in your mind? But a lot of people are saying, hey, why the hell did it take so long for Kevin Owens to get drafted? Why did Cesaro go to Raw? A lot of people are talking about the women, but what was one thing that sticks out in your mind that you say, hey, I wasn't expecting that?
I don't really have one. Like, I wasn't actually surprised.
You weren't surprised?
No.
Well, here's my question then. Mm-hmm. Of the NXT people that came up, Nia Jax, Finn Balor, who else, Joe?
Alexa Bliss,
wow.
Carmella.
Carmella. Who of those do you feel has the best chance in coming up to main roster to make an immediate impact?
Hands down, Finn Balor.
Finn Balor.
Hands down.
Absolutely great.
Hands down, the man is a genius.
He does the thing in the air.
He throws his hands in there. He's amazing.
It is so freaking good.
He dominated NXT. Like, it's, you can't.
And those matches with Joe, man.
Yeah.
Really, really great stuff.
Wonderful.
I'm curious to go back a little bit into your wrestling history. Mm-hmm. How did you fall in love with the profession? It's not for everybody.
No,
okay?
Not.
But you happen to be one of those guys that we call our very own. Okay? So what is it, or what was it back in the day that got you excited about wrestling?
Well, I was a kid. My dad used to watch wrestling all the time. I was like, oh, this stuff is fake. This is like, and I was a child. I was like, this stuff is fake. Like, why would I watch it? And then I was introduced to a wrestler called The Rock.
The Rock.
The Rock changed my perspective.
If you smell la, 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 what John is cooking,
and I'm poor, so it's ramen.
That's right.
So The Rock, I was like, who is this character? Who is this person? The Rock, he's so charismatic. He's so egotistical.
The silk shirts and the Rolex.
I was like, oh, man, I like this guy. And I was a kid, and I respected that. And then The Undertaker showed up. Wow, I was like, that, like, he's my favorite wrestler of all time. Like,
Undertaker's your favorite?
Undertaker's my favorite, all time, forever.
Nice. So what would you say is your favorite Undertaker match? I know there's so many.
Yeah, it's hard.
If I had to choose, like, one that always sticks out was, I forgot which WrestleMania it was. I think it was 16. Like, it was Triple H versus The Undertaker.
In the cage.
And, yeah. No, wait. Was it WrestleMania?
Oh, was it the cage, bro?
They went outside of the ring, all the way up. It was WWF time.
Okay.
And they went up, and then Undertaker chokeslammed Triple H off this little banister.
Okay.
I cannot remember, but it sticks out of my head every time. It's like, that was the coolest match because of how
I mean, you're talking about two... I mean, I know they're not yet, but are you talking about two Hall of Famers?
Exactly.
First ballot Hall of Famers. Now, Joe, I want to pose the same question to you. Okay. Yeah. A lot of burned alive matches, a lot of buried alive matches, a lot, you know, Hell in the Cells. Undertaker's known for lots of different matches. Your favorite Undertaker match? Because I don't think we've ever discussed it.
Hands down, you can't talk about the Undertaker without talking about the Hell in the Cell
with Mick Foley. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, he got blown off of the Hell in the Cell.
Greatest call in wrestling history by many.
The first time they had ever done something like that, and I mean, it was legitimately scary for everybody that was there because I mean, it's not something that you wouldn't see. And Mick Foley even said in his book that when they were getting ready to do that spot, Undertaker was begging him not to do it. He said, "Please don't do this," and he did it anyway.
Mick is a glutton for punishment.
And now he's back.
Yes.
Now he's back. Were you surprised, or did you have any inclination of who the general managers were going to be, and were you happy about it or not?
I'm happy about it.
Mick Foley, Daniel Bryan?
I was not thinking about, because I thought Mick Foley was out of the game, because I believe he said he was. Like, he wasn't going to come back.
Maybe they made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
And now that he's back, I'm like, please, come back home. We need some more of that old heads back into the, you know, to the business.
That no wrestling.
Exactly.
Like the back of their hands. So now, before we close out this segment, Jay, you talk to us a little bit about what you do, if you don't mind. Tell us what it is you do. You kind of name dropped your company. So tell us a little bit about what it is you do. I see you got your nice fancy camera in your hand here. What is it that you get into, man? What are you even doing at Natsukon today?
Well, I'm from PAA Studios, Passion, Ambition, Adventure. And we're a photography group. We go around the U.S. right now. We just came from Anime Expo.
Nice.
And we cover conventions. That's all we do, man. We make nice, pretty videos. We try our best. And we just try to, you know, spread the art form that is cosplay and all that stuff. So, you know, that's what we do.
Awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. How many states have you been to at this point? I mean, how much traveling have you done? Or are you guys just getting started?
We're just going to start. We're a baby company. We just had a 1-year anniversary. So, you know, we've been
tremendous.
To like, what, three states now?
No,
that's later this afternoon and we will likely be there. Yeah, that's going to be a good time. Yes. Well, if you're a girl that likes a big booty, you want to go to the midget wrestling. Midgets have big booties. Will you take a flyer from us? We may have some of those guys on the show here soon. Check us out, okay? All right. Thanks.
Awesome.
Hey, sorry, we were interrupted by a lovely lady. I don't think anybody minded that.
She's asking about midget wrestling, so, you know.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, it is wrestling.
It is
as
wrestling.
Odd as it is.
It's still wrestling.
All right, Jay, well, we want to thank you for being a part of the WrestleTalk podcast today, man. We will be broadcasting this over the next couple hours, maybe even within the next day or so on blogtalkradio.com/WrestleTalk podcast. It was a pleasure to sit down with a fellow wrestling
nut. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take it easy, brother.
You too.